in order to ensure the security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire for a safe and secure society.
This is how liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
If you're ready to stand on the line, if you're ready to fight back and serve it to the criminals trying to enslave you and steal your wealth through monetary creation and exorbitant taxation, you're in the right place. Welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast.
Our individual first aid kits are now on sale. They're Molly-compatible pouches in Coyote, ACU, OD, or Black. They're equipped with an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, TK4 tourniquet, suture kit, and lots of extras. It's perfect for your car, bug-out bag, or home first aid kit. Go to the PrepperRecon.com homepage and click on the IFAC store tab at the top of the page. They're on sale for $89, and that includes shipping. This kit could save your life.
I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is a rebroadcast of my recent appearance on Patriot Radio with John Jacob Schmidt. Enjoy the show.
Mark Goodwin, welcome to Patriot Radio, sir.
John Jacob, it's always an honor to be on the show.
Well, thank you. You're obviously, your situational awareness is pretty up there, pretty high on the scale. What's your take on this potential civil unrest situation coming out of Ferguson?
Well, it's something that I think that we're always going to have to be prepared for. You know, whether this turns out to be something big or, you know, whether they really roll in the National Guard and really clamp people down. And, you know, that's what we saw in the first round of riots in Ferguson. We saw, you know, I don't really know because I wasn't there, so I don't really know what happened between Michael Brown and the police officer. But what I do know is what I saw footage of, and that was the police going in and taking cameras and taking pushing film crews out of the area to where they couldn't film to stifle the freedom of the press. And I did see footage of reporters being locked up in like McDonald's and things like that. So I did see our First Amendment rights getting trampled over. And so I think there's a double-edged sword out of that. I think that there's the threat from civil unrest, and then I think there's the threat from a overreaching tyrannical government.
Well, there definitely is the potential for that. We've seen some of the desperations. I mean, these police officers, they're real people. And I'll tell you what, that's a scary thing to face a hostile crowd like that. They're, you know, threatening your life. And I can see the emotions taking over. I wonder also if the pendulum isn't going to swing the other way, where these rules of engagement now are going to so tie the hands of the police officers, they're not going to be able to effectively keep the peace. And so there's we're out of balance, it seems. We face the danger of being out of balance going back the other way. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think anytime you get out of balance on either side of that, I think that it's a volatile situation, and I think that this is a really good example of a good time to be prepared to hunker down and to shelter in place, which is, you know, you just lock your doors and maintain light discipline and sound discipline, which means that you're not making a lot of noise outside of your home, and you're keeping your curtains closed so people aren't able to look in and see what's going on inside your house, and maybe not even be able to tell if anybody's home or not, and just kind of to sort of hunker down and make sure that you've got plenty of food, water, means of defending yourself, and staying in one place and not getting out there and getting in the mix of that.
Yeah.
And I think we keep getting we've had a lot of good examples of being able to shelter in place, whether it's, you know, us preppers are often labeled as being kooky until you get a news cycle like we've had lately. We've had Ferguson, Missouri. We've had the huge snowstorm up in Buffalo, New York, and the Ebola outbreak. And all of those are good examples of times that you just want to have enough stuff in your home that you don't have to get out and be involved in any of that. Not, you don't have to be driving around in the snow. You don't have to be exposing yourself to Ebola if there's some kind of a detrimental outbreak. And you don't have to be out going to the grocery store to buying milk and toilet paper and bread in the middle of a riot.
That's a really good point. And, of course, the other option might be not to be anywhere in the area. What would you say to somebody who is weighing this out? Should I hunker down or do I get off the X? Do I bug out?
I think that answer is going to be different for everybody. It's going to depend on how close you are to the situation. If your home is in the zone that's likely to be affected, absolutely, you definitely want to get out of there. And that's the same thing as when you have a hurricane or a bad disease outbreak. You just want, if you're at risk of being right in the hot zone of any of that, you just want to get out of there altogether. And one of the things you have to be able to do to be ready to do that is you have to have a good budget. You've got to be financially prepared to be able to do that. You've got to be able to take the time off of work. You've got to have the money set aside to put gas in your tank and get a hotel room and whatever that entails of getting out of harm's way. And the same thing for fires and anything else where you're at risk of being harmed by staying where you're at. And you need to have your parameters set up ahead of time to think about what are the conditions and how close is this thing going to get for me to decide that I'm going to bug out. Because if you don't decide ahead of time, what you end up doing is making a decision in the middle of a panic. And usually if you're making a decision when you're panicking, you're going to make the wrong decision.
Exactly. Well, the number is 1-877-999-7684. We've got already the calls are starting to roll in. This is a hot topic right now, and people are going through this awakening, giving the current world situation. And so they're really starting to think about this stuff right now. We want to encourage that. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Nick from Price Cities that has something to say about this topic.
Hey, gentlemen, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Every time I call, my phone goes snap, and I cannot hear you back. So I'm gonna ask the question and listen to the response on the air, if I may.
Sure.
With all the interference with the federal government and what was a city problem at best, at the very best, a state problem, and the feds went down there, and I believe they stirred everything up, they got it fomented, and I'm wondering if this is not an orchestrated effort to throw everything into what will eventually be martial law and enforcing martial law, completely taking away the constitutional rights of those people that are there. Well, and that's the question that keeps bugging me did they orchestrate this so they could throw it under martial law? I'll listen on the radio. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Nick. You know, a lot of people have had that thought. Mark, you want to weigh in on that?
It very well could be. I mean, it's certainly we've seen a lot of just worse the worst possible handling of a lot of different situations from the federal government, whether it's the Bundy Ranch or the Ferguson or the Ebola. I mean, it does. Sometimes when you look at these things, you think, man, you just couldn't get these things wrong so consistently without it being something that somebody's purposely trying to do. So, you know, without having any more knowledge than what the caller has, I can only guess, but it certainly could appear that way.
Well, you know, and it doesn't help that President Obama just went down there and told the protest leader organizers that he's concerned that they stay the course. That was his biggest concern. So he's encouraging them to stay the course. And, you know, which course is he encouraging? Because there's a lot of talk of hostilities and violence down there, or at least a kind of a apathy toward it. Well, you got to understand these people are, you know, they feel abused. So they're essentially, you know, justifying, you know, violence, while the attorney general is telling the police to use restraint instead of telling everybody to use restraint.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they're trying to defuse the situation at all.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think we're both in agreement. We've talked about this before. Just be prepared for as many different things as you can. Try to think ahead. Think clearly. Approach this prayerfully. Don't be in fear. Just be prepared. And then trust in the Lord for the rest of it.
Absolutely. Do your best and trust God for the rest.
Yes. Now, let's talk about your books, because this is pretty exciting. I am through, and I love the audiobooks, but you've just released The Days of Noah, and book one is out now, and I'm listening to the audio file, and I'm almost through it, and I take it in little bite-sized pieces. I love the way you write, but let's talk about this story. Maybe we can talk about your American Exit Strategy, you know, series, but I'm kind of excited about this project. Talk about that. What made you decide to go after The Days of Noah? How'd the name come about, and what's the message that you're hoping to convey to the reader?
Well, you know, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the signs of, you know, at the time of the coming of the Son of Man, which was himself, of course, he was talking about. And so, you know, I wanted to try to take today's headlines and think about, what does this look like? How do we get from here up until the rapture? How bad could it get? Because we often get Christians that think, oh, well, Jesus is going to come get me before things get bad around here, so I don't need to get prepared. You know, and that's sort of this thought that's very popular in the evangelical church. And you know, and it's a pre-tribulation mindset, which I tend to be pre-tribulation. I think that there are some verses that sound like or seem like they could support a mid-tribulation rapture, but I tend to lean more towards the pre-tribulation because I've seen a lot of evidence for that as well. But how bad could things get, and we could still have a pre-tribulation rapture? And there's been a lot of books written, you know, the Great Left Behind series. I love that series, and I think that probably influenced me a lot in this book. But that picks up at the rapture, where most Christians are hoping that we're not going to be around for all of that stuff. So I just wanted to do a little study and look at how bad things could get before that happens, because you know, for folks that think we're going to be out of here before we ever face any type of persecution, that's not working out real good for the Christians in North Korea right now, and it's not working out real good for a lot of the Christians in the Middle East. So we don't have any guarantees of that. The only guarantee we have is from John 17, where Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation." But take heart because I've overcome the world. So that's where our hope is. But, you know, I think that, if we're going to take that verse seriously, then we have to sort of be prepared for, whatever that might entail. And so just a quick synopsis of the days of Noah is there's a public school teacher. His name's Noah Parker. He's sort of been asleep at the wheel, like a lot of Americans. And during his complacency, the precepts of America have been systematically destroyed by a conspiracy that dates back hundreds of years. So when Noah dares to mention creationism in the public school where he works, he's arrested because it's a violation of the, near future community core standards, which are sort of a common core on steroids. And then since that crime's considered to be a crime against children, Department of Child Family Services come and take his daughter away in a violent confrontation where and with this particular police force, it's their default to just shoot a dog anytime they come into a home and there's a barking dog rather than asking the owner to put the dog away into a bathroom or something like that. They just shoot it. And so that happens to his dog. His daughter's basically abducted, and he has to fight to get his daughter back and clear his name from this felony he's been charged with for mentioning creationism. It's kind of based on the 1925 Scopes Monkey Trial, and you know, back then, and that's it. Kind of highlights how much our nation's changed, because back then it was a guy that was being arrested for mentioning Darwinianism. Which also happens to be sort of a religion, because the people that believe in that, they're every bit as dogmatic about it, and probably more so than most Christians, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's a lot of material. Well, actually, there are a few classics, you know, George Orwell, Ayn Rand, or, you know, the Brave New World, and some of these other things that were really ahead of their time, almost prophetic, but obviously they weren't prophets, but it really gave us a glimpse. So it's interesting now that these things are becoming a reality, and this is developing and unfolding right before our eyes, to continue painting that picture for the modern American living here. And the author can really start filling in a lot of the blanks and make this a very realistic and believable scenario that we could be faced with.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the sort of the sideline story that's going on that is that you've got this young CIA analyst who's not really a field agent, but he gets taken under the wing of an older CIA field agent that's sort of out through, you know, wanting to have a sort of get stuff off his chest, sort of a catharsis. He starts educating this younger CIA analyst, Everett, and telling him about the shadow government that's been operating for hundreds of years to try to steer America into this new world order and away from liberty. So you see a lot of the same things, a lot of the similar elements that you saw in my first series, Economic Collapse Chronicles. But where Economic Collapse Chronicles, book one of that was American Exit Strategy, you saw the dollar collapse. It was sort of through buffoonery. And just not being able to get it together, and there not being any political will to do the types of things that we needed to do to shore up our economy and institute a solid currency. In the days of Noah, it's actually a conspiracy where a lot of these same things are happening, but it's being done on purpose.
That's an interesting twist. From your first, I mean, it's kind of a departure from your first book, where there's, like you said, it's buffoonery. They're fumbling. They don't know what they're doing. They can't fix the economy, and so it just gets out of control, and nobody can fix it. The second one is a very deliberate and calculated destruction of our system. And I think that it's a combination of the two. I mean, obviously, there are very evil people that are calculating on how to bring in this one world system. But I also believe that the whole world's full of useful idiots as well, that they're helping support this, and they even thinking that it's the greatest thing that humanity needs to get behind and support, they're all complicit. Amazing. So, how many books in the Days of Noah series?
It's going to be a trilogy.
Okay, good.
And then, and like I think I mentioned last time I was on the show, it's gonna end with the rapture. So,
all right, I believe in the pan theory. You know, it's in the end, it's all going to pan out.
That's a great one.
Well, I've just heard so much compelling evidence and arguments to support all post, mid, you know, pre, that, you know, we can really get spun up over that stuff and miss the point. I mean, just like the Christians being pursued by ISIS right now, those being in Africa, in Indonesia, just all over the world, while American Christians they're not concerned that anything bad could ever happen to them because Jesus is going to save them. I guess Jesus is going to return right at the moment when American Christians are about to get persecuted. So, because we're Americans, right? We're going to be exempt.
Well, if that's the case, he should have came back about 8 years ago, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I just know that there needs to be an awakening, and I know that people are waking up. And I know that people like you, the work that you're doing, is really making Christians patriots, conservative people out there stop and really think and reevaluate the world that we're living in and what that could mean in our future.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the good things about fiction is that people will pick it up hoping to be entertained, which I certainly try to do that. But I also deal with the heart of trying to educate people and like you said, wake people up. And the thing about fiction is that while you're reading it, when you come across something that sort of challenges your worldview, you can sort of look at that and choose to pursue that a little further. Or if it's offensive and you just want to shut down, you can just write it off as fiction. But still, that seed's been sown for you to come back to it later and chew on it later when you're maybe a little bit more prepared to handle what the implications are for having your worldview so shattered. And I think that's one of the things about prepping people that really don't want to think about bad things is that it's too much of a shock to their system and they just kind of shut down. And I think that sometimes you can give somebody a fiction book and say, hey, here, read this. And you know, if they want to write it off as fiction, then they can just enjoy it and read it and have a good book. But I think that in the back of their mind, that splinter is always going to be there until they eventually come around to facing it.
1-877-999-7684 here at Patriot Radio on Prepper Friday. And we are here with author and blogger and podcaster Mark Goodwin from the Prepper Recon Podcast. What I agree with you that what these books do, if nothing else, is it starts the conversation. Because I know there's a lot of people that say, you know, I read this, I had my wife read it, and then she says, what would we do? And they start talking about this, and then they start taking action. And then when they see that against the backdrop of the news cycle, the headlines, it really makes them think we should probably start taking this more seriously. And so good job on your part. You do a good job over there on Prepper Recon Podcast, too.
Well, thank you very much. I try, and you've certainly been a big influence in that, John Jacob.
Well, thank you. It's an honor. It's all glory to God, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen.
I'm very grateful that I am have been awoken and have a set of eyes to see what's going on around here. And I see people that are asleep, and I just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Absolutely. And you know, I was reading through Isaiah 1 today, And Isaiah 1:22 says, "Your silver has become dross. Your choice wine is diluted with water." And 23 says, "Your rulers are rebels." And I thought, man, was this written for ancient Israel back in 600 BC? Or is this written for 2014 America? Because, I mean, those two things just ring so loud and clear for our nation right now. Your silver has become dross. I mean, you know, literally, you know, pennies are now made out of zinc, which is the dictionary definition of dross. You know, we used to use silver for our coinage, and now, you know, our dimes and quarters are made out of nickel and copper and all of this stuff that's, you know, compared to silver is dross. So, I mean, literally our silver became dross. And I just think that that's just mind blowing. And then to hear your rulers are rebels, you know, and that's exactly what we've gotten in the White House right now is a rebel, somebody that's it's a complete anarchist that obeys none of the rules that are set down, that you know, Romans 13 says were instituted by God, you know. And when I think about Romans 13 the law that was instituted by God, according to Romans 13, is our Constitution. And, you know, and that's what we're supposed to be following. It's not Obama's edict du jour. You know, it's those founding principles that were written so long ago and paid for with so many lives.
That's what people don't understand, that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And so any law that contradicts that, even according to the 16th American jurisprudence, says that any law that's in violation or contradiction to the Constitution is null and void, and as if it would never have been written at all. But we've, you know, you're right. We've got pastors that are telling people, oh, no, if they say give up your guns, we have to. It's Romans 13 says to. And, you know, so grossly misinterpreted by pastors who don't know any better. And fortunately, there are a lot that are waking up. And there's a lot of Black Robe Regiment type pastors and real patriot pastors that are educating that generation that got duped into thinking we'd have to blindly follow things that go against the supreme law of the land. Yeah. And it's interesting too, because you bring up Isaiah 1:22, and I've read that, and you've put some really good ones in your books. Yesterday I did a Bible study, and I happened to just kind of stumble into Micah 2 and 3, and it talked about the same thing. We're on the same page there. Well, actually, different pages, but on the same wavelength.
Yeah,
because it's talking about evil people, evil rulers, and the consequences of that, and his judgment. And so here we are. I mean, there's multiple examples. Now, I've got the audio books. So in the book, the print book, did you introduce each of your chapters like you did in the first series with either scriptures or historical quotes?
Yes.
Okay, good. I love the way you did that. It's because it set the tone for the upcoming chapter.
Yeah, and you know, I guess I'm sure you know where I got that idea. That was from James Wesley Rawls, of course. You know, because he, all of his chapters, he starts them out with some type of real clever quote.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. That's right.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. KD Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Their plates are available with Rhino Linings coatings to reduce spaw. Go to KDArmor.com, that's CATIArmor.com today.
Now, for the new prepper, the new self-reliant patriot who's just getting started, and this is new to them, and they're just overwhelmed, and they know they need to do something to become self-reliant, but they don't know where to start. What's the top three areas that you would tell somebody, okay, start here, then here, then here, in this order?
The top three things is the first thing that, and it's not the sexy prepper answer, but the number one thing is you. You need to get yourself mentally, spiritually, and physically in shape to handle whatever, because when things go bad, all of that gets taxed. Mentally, you got to be in a good place mentally. You got to be convinced that what you're doing is right, and so that means that you need to be doing the things that are right, so you can be convinced of that. You need to be spiritually ready because, statistically, 10 out of 10 people die, John Jacob. So, it doesn't matter how well prepared you are. Someday you're going to meet your maker, and so you need to be ready for that day. Absolutely. I think Jesus said, what is a profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I think the prepper definition of that is, what does it profit a man to be prepared to survive the zombie apocalypse if you're not ready to meet your maker when you finally do reach your last day? So I think that you need to spend some time making sure that you've got all that straightened out, and then physically prepared. You can't sit around and a lot of folks, unfortunately, up in Buffalo just learned this past week. You can't sit around on the couch and eat bonbons and watch Judge Judy all day, or football, or whatever it is, eating pretzels and Cheetos and whatever, and then on game day you get up and run out there and think that you're going to be physically prepared to deal with a disaster. You know, three people had heart attacks from shoveling snow. You know, and this is just the driveway snow. Now you've got people up there that are having to climb up on a ladder, get on top of their roof, get a shovel, and shovel the snow off of their roof because the snow's threatening to collapse their roofs. They've got 6 feet of snow sitting on top of their roof. You can't have that. So you got to be physically prepared for that. I live in South Florida, so here a disaster usually means that there's a hurricane's been through, and we've got trees to clear. You know, you got to cut them so they get off your roof, or they crack your roof, or to get them out of the driveway so you can move your car, or whatever, and that all takes physical endurance. And so if you're not in good shape, you're not going to be able to do that, and you're going to end up like these folks up in Buffalo that thought they were going to sit around and do nothing for years and years and years, and then when something happens, they're going to get out there and shovel that snow. You can't do it. You got to stay in shape, and that's and whatever it takes to do that. And everybody likes something different, I like going to the gym. I've got arthritis in my knees, so I can get on that elliptical glider and get the same cardio as somebody that's running for 4 or 5 miles with a lot less stress on my knees and my back. So that's what works for me. For other folks, it might be running. So for other folks, swimming's a great thing if you're near a gym that's got a pool. If you're out in a rural area, it might just be doing some cross-country hiking, and doing it and trying to time yourself to where, you're going to do a trail in a certain amount of time and keep pushing yourself to do that trail faster. Whatever it is, to get out and get active. Gardening's a good way to stay active. And in northern climates, you have to find a way to stay active through the winter. So that's number one, is taking care of you. Number two, and then we mentioned this when we were talking about bugging out, is your budget. You got to get a 6 month emergency fund set aside. So if all of your bills, you tally up your bills, and at the end of the month it's $1,500, you need to have that times six. So and that needs to be in cash. This isn't money that we're going to diversify into silver and gold and ammo and other things like that. That's just cash. Nope. And then after that, I think the smartest thing to do is to put together a good bug out bag, and your bug out bag is going to have 3 days worth of food in it. It's going to have some means of purifying water. It's going to have shelter. It's going to have a flash drive that's got all of your important documents scanned onto that. It's going to have a good knife, a good flashlight, a tent, a sleeping bag, change of clothes. And all of those things, because if you've got a bug out bag with 3 days worth of food and water in it, you've got a bug in bag. So you know that if something happens, you have to shelter in place. You've got at least 3 days that are in that bag. And then from there, you can start building on your long-term food storage. And I would recommend for folks to try to get that up to at least 6 months. And storing water, because people think that, they're going to be able to just purify water, and that's not always the case. When we had this big chemical spill in West Virginia last year, you know, there was no filtration system that would get those chemicals out of that water. You either had water stored or you did without, and people were fighting over water in, the grocery stores.
Wow. Yeah, and that's a common story, common experience that we see. We've got Alex in Yakima on the line with us. You are joining me with Mark Goodwin. Thanks for calling in, Alex.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Did you have a
question? So I'm a Democratic arms-bearing veteran, and I don't like a lot of the stuff you guys say on here, but what you just said not too long ago about the Constitution being the law of the land, and that's something that I hold perfectly and solidly to my heart. And one of those things that you had mentioned was, you know, about prepping and stuff like that. And the previous caller before me had said something along the lines of, you know, he's worried about martial law being declared. Well, one of those, you know, one of the pieces of the law of the land is the Second Amendment. And declaring martial law puts power in the hands of the people. And as a former veteran, saying that if I were still in and given an order to say, I don't know, disarm or even to fire on the local populace here in Yakima, I think that would be a suicide mission, especially, you know, knowing who lives here.
It would.
So just and knowing he's put on a lot of great information. I've delved into the Days of Noah, and you're a fantastic author. I really appreciate your work. And what you've been saying about physical, spiritual, and, financial prepping is fantastic. So great on you, and great show, guys.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks for calling in. Do it again, please. This is Patriot Radio, and you can join us at Patriot Radio US on Facebook. And the number is 1-877-999-7684. And we might have time to squeeze in another caller. But, what's your take on that, Mark? I'm not sure that – actually, I should have kept Alex on the line just to ask him what he meant by martial law puts the power in the hands of the people. What's your take on that?
Well, I would probably agree with him. You know, somewhere like Yakima, you know, that stuff's not going to fly. But that's not where they do it. And I think that, we talk about whether things are buffoonery or whether there's some grand conspiracy to condition us to into slavery. And when we look at the recent past of how these types of things have been instituted, you know, I'm not necessarily, you know, I don't have enough information, and I don't know if anybody does, to say whether or not Boston bombing was some type of planned event. But, when we saw the martial law lockdown in Boston, it certainly didn't bring any power to the people. We don't see those types of things happening in places like Yakima. We see them in places like Boston, where the populace has already been groomed to accept this type of tyranny. And then we saw what we saw in this populace that had been groomed for such an event through whatever type of conditioning there is, you know, the public re-education systems or whatever. We saw people gladly just pour over the authorities and hand over their Fourth Amendment rights and let people just come into their house and search it warrantlessly. And then also in New Orleans, we saw people hand over their guns in house-to-house gun confiscation. So, you know, we haven't really seen one of these types of events in a place like Yakima yet, but we've seen plenty of them in Boston and New Orleans and places that I think are probably more well-conditioned. And I think that those are probably those may be conditioning tools to get the people in places like Yakima a little bit more acclimated so that they'll be ready and they'll be a little bit more submissive than maybe what they would have been in the past because they've seen other people just roll over and hand over their rights. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's my understanding. I mean, just by the very definition of martial law, that there is the definition of martial law is the enforcement by military forces, and you know, usually, obviously, designed to be temporary. but when it temporarily removes liberty from the citizen and places military power in the hands of the military, you know, that's the first, that's, you're moving as far away from power to the people as you can get. And that's why it's such a very, very, very dangerous thing. But, you know, like Alex said, that would be a dangerous thing for them to do in certain geographic areas based on the demographics, such, you know, Yakima, for example, or northern Idaho, or northeast Washington, or places in the Appalachians. You know, so, yeah, I think you're right in that, in your assessment, that they're very careful about where they would implement that, at least so far. Okay. But now, you live in Florida right now, right?
Yes. So we don't have 6 feet of snow, thankfully. And you know, and now that's a great topic. And if I could just touch on that really quick, you know, it looks like we're going to be in for another really, really bad winter. And I think that it's a great idea. You know, there's 100 cars stranded on the New York Thruway right now. And yeah. And I think it's a great idea for anybody that lives above the frost line, which is basically 100 miles north of me, to keep an emergency blanket in their car. I think you should never let your tank – and this is for – I don't care what climate you're in. You should never let your tank get below three-quarters of a tank. And, you know, and this all, that all gets back into, you know, financial preparedness of making sure that you have to live on less than you bring in at all times, so that you've always got a cushion, because you know, most people, the financial collapse happens to them when they lose their job. You know, that's a personal financial collapse. Yeah. And if you're already living below your means, then that means it's going to be that much easier for you to adjust your lifestyle even lower to get by on even less, and you're going to have that cushion set aside. Whereas if you're living at your means, or, you know, if you're living above your means, that's really, really got to stop, because that means that that if you lost your job today, you'd have credit card bills and just mountains and mountains of debt, that there's just it's a financial apocalypse for you if something like that happens. So you have to live, you know, if you're living above your means, start getting that down to at your means, and then with a target of getting below your means. But you have to make some adjustments to do that, so that you can put that cushion aside. And then once you're there, then you're able to keep your car full all the time, because, you know, finances aren't a problem for you, because you've got that locked down. And, you know, never let your tank get below three quarters of a tank. And so, especially for people in northern climates, I think it helps to keep from their cars freezing up as bad anyway. But, you know, if you do get stranded, you've got at least three quarters of a tank to be able to keep your heater going. Hopefully somebody will find you. You know, if you've got road flares, flashlights, things like that, that you can signal people when a snowplow or whoever comes by, to let them know that you need help, and, you know, making sure that your phone's charged, or you've got a charger in your car, things like that. Keeping that emergency blanket in there. Your water might freeze. Yes, go ahead.
We are coming right up. We've got about 30 seconds left, and I didn't want to let you get away without giving the listeners a chance to get your website out there where people can go to learn more.
Oh, absolutely. It's prepperrecon.com, and there's links on there to purchase any of my books, Days of Noah, and that's out, like you said, it's out in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition.
All right, and you'll like it. Hey, Mark, it was so good to talk to you again. I look forward to doing it again in the future, and we'll definitely keep in touch. So keep up the great work. God bless.
Thanks so much.
Are we living in a time of which there is more prophetic writings than of any period in history? Noah Parker, like many in the United States, has been asleep at the wheel. During his complacency, the founding precepts of America have been slowly, systematically destroyed by a conspiracy that dates back hundreds of years. The signs can no longer be ignored. Watch through the eyes of Noah Parker and his family as a global empire takes shape. Ancient writings are fulfilled, and the last days fall upon the once great United States of America. The Days of Noah, Book 1. Conspiracy by Mark Goodwin is a fast-paced fiction thriller which looks at how modern conspiracies could play into biblical prophecy concerning end times. Buy The Days of Noah in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.